Gopi Jana Bala Ba Girivar Dari Gopi Jana Bala Ba Girivar Dari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Vunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Vunja Bihari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Vishwapad, Paramahamsa Parijagacharya, Stodara Shadra Shri Srimad, Abhayachanar, Vinti Bhaktivedanta Swami Sarvopada Ki. Jaya Vishwapad, Paramahamsa Parijagacharya, Stodara Shri Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sarvopada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki. Jaya Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jaya. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Canto 8, Chapter 1, the Manus, Administrators of the Universe, Text 10. Atmavasyam idam vishvam. Yat kinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena punjita magrida krasya svidhanam atmavasyam idam vishvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena punjita Magrida kasya svidhanam Atmavasyam idam vishvam Yatkinchi jagatyam jagat Tena tyaktena punjita Magrida kasya svidhanam Atmavasyam idam vishvam Yatkinchit jagatyam jagat Tena taktena bunjita Magrita kasya svidhanam Atmavasyam idam vishvam Yatkinchit jagatyam jagat Tena taktena bunjita Magrita kasya sridhanam Atmavasyam idam vishvam Yat kinchit jagatyam jagat Atmavasyam idam vishvam jagatyam jagat tena taktena punjita magrita kasya sridhanam Matajis Atmavasyam idam vishvam Yat kinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena punjita magrita kasya sridhanam atmavasyam idam vishvam The word to word translation. Atma, the super soul. Avasyam, living everywhere. Idam, this universe. Vishvam, all universes. All places. Yet, whatever. Kinchit, everything that exists. Jagatyam, in this world, everywhere. Jagat, everything, animate and inanimate. Tena, by him. Tyaktena, allotted. Punjita, you may enjoy. Ma, do not. Grida, accept. Kasyasvit, of anyone else. Dhanam, the property. Translation. Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his super soul feature is present everywhere, wherever there are animate or inanimate beings. Therefore, one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. So, it's a long purport, and what we're going to do is we're going to break it down and we're going to discuss the purport as we go. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Having described the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as transcendental, Swayambhuva Manu, for the instruction of the sons and grandsons in his dynasty, is now describing all the property of the universe as belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada starting off the purport with describing about the history of Manu, and also describing his authority. And he's explaining, the Manu's instructions are not only for his own sons and grandsons, but for all of human society. The word man, or in Sanskrit, manushya, has been derived from the name Manu, for all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Manu is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. Vivashvan manave praha manur ikshiva kave abravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku. Swayambhuva Manu and Vaivasvata Manu have similar duties. Vaivasvata Manu was born of the sun god, Vivasvan, and his son was Ikshvaku, the king of the earth. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of the humanity, human society should follow his instructions. So he's establishing the authority of Manu and how it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. And actually, all the humankind comes from Manu, as Prabhupada is establishing here. And then it's also Manu is also responsible for teaching how to live for the humankind. So it teaches through the teachings, Manu Samhita. And so there are many instructions or the codes of how to live a proper human society. So now continuing on, Prabhupada starts talking about the verse. So this verse is very similar to the one of the verses from Shishopanishad, yes. Which is, starts with, does anyone remember? Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. So you say Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam, and actually the rest of the three lines are almost 100% similar. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam, Yat Kinchit Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Tak Tena Bunjita, Magrita Kasya Swit Tenam. So here, the first line, which is slightly different, actually has the same meaning. So, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. And here it says, Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. So, Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam is referring, Atma Vasyam Idam is referring to the super soul who is living everywhere, who is spread everywhere within the universe. So now Prabhupada starts, going to start talking about it in the next paragraph. And, how the super soul feature is present everywhere. So, Swayambhuva Manu instructs that whatever exists not only in the spiritual world, but even within the material world, is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super consciousness. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. In every field, in other words, in every body, the Supreme Lord is existing as the super soul. The individual soul is given a body in which to live and act according to the instructions of the Supreme Person. And therefore, the Supreme Person also exists within every body. We should not think that we are independent. Rather, we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are two kinds of energy that Bhagavad Gita speaks about in the 7th chapter. The para and the apara prakriti. So para prakriti is inferior or superior? Superior, exactly. And apara prakriti? Inferior, yeah. So apara prakriti, other way around. Para prakriti is inferior, actually. Para is inferior and apara Apara is inferior. That's right, yes. So the para prakriti is in the 7th chapter. It explains what constitutes the inferior energy. Does anyone remember the verse? Pumir Fanaloya Kamanabudhirya Vacha Ankaritiyame Pinna Prakriti Astada. So the 8 elements, he's talking about earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So these 8 constitute the inferior energy or the upper prakriti. That's right. And then the next verse speaks about the superior energy, the para prakriti. And does anyone know that verse? Aparayam istastamanyam prakritim vidhim param. Jivabhutam Mahabaho Yadam Dhari Chichaka. So he's talking about how Krishna is speaking about his energies, and primarily it can be divided into two, the material or the inferior energy and the spiritual, the superior energy. And Krishna is talking about how the upper prakriti is superior energy. Why is it considered superior? Why are the living entities considered superior? Yes, spot on. So, the superior energy, because living entities can control matter, isn't it? So just like this microphone, it will not be working unless we turned it on. So we can control, isn't it? And so, you know how the modern society, actually, we have created many things. The modern people, they have created many things, many machines, many luxuries, comforts, and we can see how that's because of the higher intelligence that we are able to create what we have right now. And so, on its own, the matter is not going to move. It's not going to do anything. But it's because of the higher or superior influence that something happens. So that's why the matter moves. And that's why the living entity is considered to be superior energy, right? But what we don't understand is that higher than this superior energy is the Lord Himself, who is the supreme energetic, the source of all the energies. So a lot of time people understand that we are superior than matter, but what people often don't understand is that there is something higher than them, which is the Supreme Lord. So because they fail to understand that, therefore they consider themselves to be the all in all and supreme. And therefore they don't acknowledge that there is something higher. But of course, as living entities, we have to understand that there is a superior power, and that we have to learn to be subordinate to that. We have to submit to that. That's why Prabhupada in the purport here explains that that we are not independent. We should not think that we are independent. Rather, and then Prabhupada continues that we'll discuss about that later. But we are not independent. There's a very nice verse. Prabhupada very often quotes in many of the purports, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanya Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam Yovidyatati Kamar. He said, there is this one living entity. He said, although both are Nityas, the individual living entity and the Supreme Lord, they're all individual living entities, and they're both living, the Chaitanya, but there's Eko Bahunam. So it is a one living entity who is maintaining all the others. Eko Bahunam Yovidyatati Kamar. So there's one entity who is maintaining the desires of all the other living entities. So in that way, we can see how we are subordinate, and we should not make that mistake to understand or think that we are the superior of everything. No. So therefore, when we make this mistake of not acknowledging that there is something superior than us, then Krishna Bhuliya Jiv Bhogavancha Kare. That when one forgets Krishna, then one starts to try and enjoy the matter and tries to engage in some kind of a sense gratification. So in that way, one becomes conditioned, or one becomes entangled in this material world. So therefore, understanding that there is something higher, we actually try to cultivate Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. That we understand that we are superior, that's right, but then there is Supreme Lord who is superior than us. So Prabhupada gives a very nice example in one of his lectures, and he was mentioning that, you know, just like we can see this temple, and so that applies to us also, that we have this very beautiful temple, and that we have created this temple, and we spent so much energy trying to create this temple and trying to maintain this temple. So although we are working very hard, we understand that the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of this temple. And so therefore we don't consider this to be our house meant for our own enjoyment. But rather we understand that this is Krishna's temple, and so therefore it's for His satisfaction. So externally, although both seem to be doing the same thing, looking after the house very carefully, cleaning it very carefully, regularly, making sure that the paint is all good, the lights are all working, and we want to make sure that everything is just perfect, but the purpose is completely different. Although it's exactly the same thing that's done by the materialists, they also look after the house very nicely, and they also maintain everything that they have very nicely. and the devotees also. But the purpose is different. We are doing it for Krishna. And they are doing it for their own sense gratification. So now continuing on to the purport, Prabhupada is going to start talking about the Isavasyam principle. Or here, you can talk about Atmavasyam principle. How the Isavasyam principle, does anyone know what that means? Isavasyam, from the Isopanishad. Isavasyam means everything belongs to the Lord. Everything, Lord is the proprietor of everything. And so therefore, everything is meant for His enjoyment, His service. So Prabhupada continues in the purport. This understanding which was, you know, they're talking about, referring to the last line of the paragraph, which is, we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, continuing the purport. This understanding will lead to perfect communism. Communists think in terms of their own nations, but the spiritual communism instructed here is not only nationwide, but universal. Nothing belongs to any nation or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of this verse. Atmavasyam idam vishvam. Whatever exists within this universe is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The modern communistic theory and also the idea of the United Nations can be reformed, indeed rectified, by the understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence, rather, He has created us. Atmavasyam idam vishvam, Isavasyam idam sarvam. This universal communism can solve all the problems of the world. So, Baba talks about the communism. And for those who sort of understand the political, different kinds of politics, understand the communism is the way of governance where everything belongs to the state. So it's communally owned and owned by the state and equally distributed to all the citizens within the society. So Prabhupada talks about that this is the perfect communism, how only one person owns everything, and that is Krishna. So one time, actually, there's a nice pastime I remember hearing in the memories of Srila Prabhupada. One time, Prabhupada had a big pandal program, and thousands of people had come, and it was a big program. And then there was this one particular communist society that was present and was very big in that area. And so they started creating chaos. So they had already warned devotees, like, if you do anything and it's spiritual here, this is our state, this is our place. You try to do anything spiritual here, we'll make a chaos in your event. And devotees did it anyway, and then these people came and they started, like, you know, making all this ruckus and started creating the chaos in society, in the pandal program. And and, you know, at one point, you know, like, devotees started getting disturbed, and, you know, it was just becoming a bit too much. And you know, there was a question mark, like, can they even continue the pandal program, because it was going out of hand. And devotees really tried to, like, subdue it different ways, but nothing was really working. And so then they finally told Prabhupada, you know, like, there are these certain communists, and they're really against what we do, and against any religions, really, not just us, any religions or any preaching or any outreach work. They will not let us do it, and they will stop us. And so they're already making a mistake, and they're actually threatening that. He said, once your leader come out, we'll kill him. So, you know, so they were, like, very outrageously angry. So Prabhupada said, oh, just ask them to come and see me. And all the devotees get very scared. They said, no, Prabhupada, you know, like, these people, they can kill anyone, and they're not shy. So Prabhupada said, no, it's okay. Just bring them here. I want to see them. So devotees were still hesitant, and they try and, like, persuade Prabhupada to, like, change his mind. Prabhupada said, no, bring them. So then all the devotees went to this community and said, look, you know, let's resolve this matter. Our leader wants to see you. Come and see him personally, privately. And so the communists were also surprised that, you know, like the leader has the guts to, like, you know, see him personally. But anyway, so they all went. And Prabhupada very, you know, politely set them down and says, you know, like, I don't understand why you guys have any problem. He said, actually, I'm trying to do the same thing that you guys are trying to do, you know. We are just trying to establish that nothing belongs to any individual here. He said, we are just trying to establish how everything belongs to one person. He said, these people, this capitalism and all these other political agendas and all, he said, we are against all of that. We just understand that everything belongs to one person, and that's what we are trying to establish. So can you please help us? Can you please support us? You know, don't. And so the devotees who were there with these people, with Prabhupada and communists, and they saw, like, all of a sudden their face changed, and they actually became very happy. He said, yeah, that's good. You people are doing good work. And they actually left very happily. He said, yeah, no, you keep doing what you're doing. He said, this is very nice. And they actually left, and all the devotees were very impressed, you know, that Prabhupada could do that. But actually that's true. And here Prabhupada is establishing how this is the perfect communism. That we understand that everything actually belongs to this one supreme person. But Prabhupada is going beyond just the nation or the state. He's saying that not just that person or the nation that it belongs to, or that everything belongs to the nation, but no, actually everything belongs within the universe, everything belongs to the supreme person. So this is Atmavasyam Idam Vishvam. Whatever exists within this universe is a property of the supreme. And so there's also, Prabhupada talks about the idea of the United Nations. And there was one time when I think some very senior person from the United Nations, and he came, and the devotees actually brought him to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told, you know, Prabhupada was very upfront to this person, and he told him that, he said, where is the United Nations? He said, before the United Nations was formed, there were less number of countries. He said, now after United Nations, there are more number of countries, and there are more fights and wars among the countries. He said, where is the United Nations? Where is the union of the nations? There is none. He said, what you people are doing is actually, you're trying your best, but things are only getting worse, despite all your efforts. So Prabhupada very logically proved that basically everything that you're doing is not really helping, is not really solving the purpose that you're trying to establish the society. But then Prabhupada is saying that everything, that the idea of the United Nations, everything can be reformed and rectified by understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So by understanding this principle of Isavasya, that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, actually all the problems can be solved, as Prabhupada is saying here. He says this universal communism can solve all the problems of the world. So this is very, very special and very important. So there's a very nice quote that I wrote it down a long time ago from somewhere in the Bhagavatam. I didn't get a chance to find the exact reference, but someone has the time can find out. Prabhupada actually put it very nicely. He said that any ism, when combined with the Isavasya principle, transforms that activity into karma yoga. So we can take an example, for example, materialism. The materialism means, you know, accumulation of the wealth for your own sense gratification. Try and take as much as you can, collect as much as you can. So this materialism, when you apply Isavasya principle to him, which is that, okay, you're welcome to collect whatever you want, as much as you want, but understand that all of that belongs to the Supreme Lord, and it's actually meant for his service. So if you can actually understand, if you can accumulate whatever you want, but understand that this belongs to the Supreme Lord, and it's meant to be used in his service. If you can do that, then it's fine. So then in that way, when you accumulate anything, then that becomes karma yoga. So it's no longer just a material greed. So like that, you can, during the day, you can look up for some isms and you can apply Isavasya principle to it. You can see how in that way it becomes karma yoga. Whether it's capitalism, whether it's communism, it could be any of the isms, and when it's applied to Isavasya principle and understanding that, okay, this needs to be utilized in Krishna service, then becomes karma yoga. I thought it was very interesting. So continuing on to the purport. One should learn from the Vedic literature that one's body is also not the property of the individual soul, but is given to individual soul according to his karma. Karmana deva netrena chantur deho papataye patataye. Chantur deho papataye. That's it. The 8,400,000 different bodily forms are machines given to the individual soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 61. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The Lord, as the super soul, sits in everyone's heart and observes the various desires of the individual soul. The Lord is so merciful that He gives the living entity the opportunity to enjoy varieties of desires in suitable bodies, which are nothing but machines, yantra rudhani maya. These machines are manufactured by the material ingredients of the external energy, and thus the living entity enjoys or suffers according to his desires. This opportunity is given by the super soul. So Prabhupada is explaining that not just that everything in the world belongs to the Supreme Lord, but even our own bodies also belong to the Supreme Lord. It's given by the Lord under the supervision of the demigods, Karmana, Deva, Netrena. There are these different demigods, and they're providing for the body, they're providing us the body, and they're allowing different functions of the body, but it's actually all supervised by the Supreme Lord. So we can, you know, this is a classic example. Nowadays, since COVID and after, there are a lot of people working from home. So when you're working from home, actually my brother works from home, and he's given a laptop, and he's given a working desk, and he's given like a few other facilities. So you can actually use all of that to work from home. So all that laptop and all this equipment, if the company finds out that you're not using it for work, but you're using it for your personal travels and your personal affairs, then the company is not very happy. It's given by the company and is meant to be used for the company and for the company's benefit, for the company's purpose, isn't it? But if you find out, if you start working, that's why, you know, many of these laptops, they have passwords and admin passwords, because you can't use it. It's not meant, you can't just put any application to it or start putting the games on it or start putting, you know, start traveling with it. No, it's meant to be for certain applications. It's meant to work in a certain purpose, and that is to benefit the company. So we can understand in the similar way that this body is also similarly given to us by the Lord, and it's meant for to be used for His service, for His purpose. And also we can see that the different laptops given to people of different posts. So the people who don't have so much responsibility, then, you know, their facilities are more minimal. But then as the posts are higher, then the facilities are also very more higher, the better facilities given. So similarly, we can see how the different bodies that are given to different living entities according to their own karma, and that awards a certain kind of responsibility. So we have to use it properly. So continuing on to the purport, Prabhupada now gives some practical application to the explanation to this Isavasya principle. He's saying, everything belongs to the Supreme, and therefore one should not usurp another's property. We have a tendency to manufacture many things. Especially nowadays, we are building skyscrapers and developing other material facilities. We should know, however, that the ingredients of the skyscrapers and machines cannot be manufactured by anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole world is nothing but a combination of the five material elements. Tejo vari medam yatha vinimaya. A skyscraper is a transformation of earth, water, and fire. Earth and water are combined and burned into bricks by fire. And a skyscraper is essentially a tall construction of bricks. Although the bricks may be manufactured by men, the ingredients of the bricks are not. Of course, man, as a manufacturer, may accept a salary from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is stated here, tena tyaktena bhunjita. One may construct a big skyscraper, but neither the constructor, the merchant, nor the worker can claim proprietorship. Proprietorship belongs to the person who has spent for the building. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has manufactured water, earth, air, fire, and the sky. And one can use these and take a salary. Tena taktena bhunjita. However, one cannot claim a proprietorship. This is perfect communism. Our tendency to construct great buildings should be used only for constructing large and valuable temples in which to install the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then our desire for construction will be fulfilled. So we can see how all the ingredients actually, they're coming from the Supreme. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And we are simply manipulating it. We are building a house, we're building car, different machines, we're building different bridges, whatever we are making. Actually, what we are doing is basically we are taking the elements and we are manipulating it according to our own desire, according to our wants. But because the provided ingredients are provided by the Supreme Lord, we can never really claim the proprietorship because it's not coming from us. So we have to understand and we have to acknowledge that, and we have to understand that the real owner is not the person who is making it, even not the person who is giving the money, even not the person who is working hard for it, but actually the person who is providing for all of it. So Prabhupada is talking something interesting. Prabhupada is saying here in the purport is that manufacturer may accept the salary, but don't claim the ownership of proprietorship. So we can accept the salary. So in other words, okay, you built a house, you know, okay, you can live there. That's your salary. Okay, you spent your money for the car. Understand that it didn't come from you. Understand that you're not the owner, but the fact that you worked hard for it, okay, as a salary, you get to use the car. But understand that the owner is Krishna. The proprietor is Krishna. So don't make a mistake to understand that this is mine. So it's a very nice Vaishnava song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's saying that this family in this house is actually yours, Krishna. And I'm just like a dog outside, just guarding it. So it's very high consciousness, of course. So we're continuing on to the purport. Yeah. So Prabhupada is getting more and more practical now. That how this is Avasya principle, how we're going to apply that into our life. Now, so since all property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything should be offered to the Lord. And we should take only prasad. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. We should not fight among ourselves to take more than we need. As Narada said to Maharaj Yudhishthir, yavat briyeta jatharam tavat svatvam hi dehinam adhikam yo abhimanyeta so steno dandam arhati. One may claim proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together. But one who desires proprietorship over more than that must be considered a thief and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. It's Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Verse 8. Of course, we need to be maintained in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending Ahara Nidra by a Maithuna. But since the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has provided these necessities of life for the birds and beasts, why not for mankind? There is no need for economic development. Everything is provided. Therefore, one should understand that everything belongs to Krishna. And with this plea, with this idea, one may take prasad. However, if one interferes with the allotment of others, he is a thief. We should not accept more than what we actually need. Therefore, if by chance we get an abundance of money, we should always consider that it belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, we are getting sufficient money, but we should never think that the money belongs to us. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and should be equally distributed to the workers, the devotees. No devotee should claim that any money or property belongs to him. If one thinks that any portion of property of this huge universe belongs to anyone, he is considered a thief and is punishable by the laws of nature. Devi Hesha Gunamai Mamamaya Duratyaya. No one can surpass the vigilance of material nature or hide his intentions from material nature. If human society unlawfully claims that the property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all of human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the laws of nature. So Prabhupada is explaining here. He said, what is the practical understanding of, when you understand that, okay, everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, then what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to offer everything to the Lord. So we do our offering every day. We offer our food. When we prepare the food, we offer first to Krishna. And when we offer food, it's not that Krishna is going to eat everything and not leave anything for us. No. Krishna blesses that food and it becomes prasad. And then we can enjoy the same food, but understanding that this actually belongs to Krishna, for Krishna's enjoyment, and then I can enjoy. So, but if one who doesn't have that mentality, and if someone thinks that, oh no, I cooked the food, so therefore it's mine, or I made this house, therefore it's mine, or I worked hard for this car, this is mine, or this is my family, etc. So, when one claims that proprietorship, then Prabhupada is explaining here that such a person, or actually Narada Muni explaining here, that such a person, then he becomes the thief. It's the mentality of a thief. Subhag Maharaj was recently, he was explaining that if someone just came into your house and without knocking on the door, someone just comes into your house, opens the fridge, helps himself with the food, lies down on the couch, and just relaxes and starts eating something from your fridge, you'll be surprised. What is this, you know? This is not good. Either it means that the person is thief or he's got some mental problem. So, we can understand that, that there's such a mentality of, you know, oh, now I'm here in this world, and so therefore whatever I can get my hands onto, that's mine. That is a mentality of a thief, because we are not acknowledging to whom it actually belongs. So it belongs to the Supreme Lord, and one has to really understand that. And that's not just for, that's not just for one thing. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So we still okay to accept what we need. Prabhupada is explaining here. Whatever we need for our eating, for our sleeping, for our recreation, for our work, whatever we need, we are allowed to have that. But remember that it belongs to the Supreme Lord. And once you have offered it, then we can enjoy. In the purport here, Prabhupada said something very nice. Yeah, Prabhupada is explaining here, it belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, referring to the money. And shouldn't be should be equally distributed to all the workers, the devotees. So you know, sometimes when Prabhupada gives another example of a cashier in the bank, you know, like a lot of money comes in the bank, and the cashier is counting all that money, but he's never thinking this is my money. He's always thinking that this actually belongs to the owner, and I'm just counting for him, and I'm going to put them all in there, and then whatever I get as my salary, that's mine, but everything else belongs to the owner. So similarly, when we are dealing with the material energy as part of our work, as part of our maintaining ourselves, we understand that actually whatever comes to us naturally, then that belongs to us, whatever is given by Krishna, and then everything else is the property of the Supreme Lord. So, but anyone who does not have that mentality, then it's explaining it. Devi Hesha Gunamai Mamamai Duratya. So the Devi energy, the Lord's material energy covers such a person over, entangles him. And such person, such thief, or that mentality of a thief, because of that, he runs into many problems. So here Prabhupada is actually very, very heavy, the last line. This is, if human society unlawfully claims that the property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all of human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the laws of nature. So when you have a society that's society of thieves, you know, there can never be peace. Prabhupada gives that example of one time there were there four thieves, and they stole a big amount of money. And then they came together, they came home, and they said, okay, let's divide it honestly. So they said, but divide honestly, you know, but then, you know, they were thinking within themselves, you know, like, why to divide with four people, you know? Like, we should divide it in two people, you know? So what they made a plan. They said, okay, what we will do is, two of you go out and you know, you prepare, you cook something for us because we are hungry, you know, we'll do the division after that. Let's eat something first. And meanwhile, we'll just go out and we have got a couple of things, so we'll finish that also and we'll come. Like that. So okay, fine. Let's agree upon that. And two people who are cooking, and while they're cooking, they think, you know, we can put some poison in there. We can kill those two people, and then we can divide the wealth among both of us. And those two people who went outside, can't remember what was it, but, you know, anyway, they went out, and then they decided that, you know, let's just like kill these two people, so then we can have all the wealth to ourselves. And so while these two people who are cooking, these other two thieves came from the back, killed them, and the food was almost ready. So they said, okay, food is almost ready, let's eat it, and then we'll divide it among both of us. And the food had poison in it, and they both also died. And so the wealth just sat there. So Prabhupada says the story to illustrate how, you know, when there's a society of thieves, you know, there is never peace. There cannot be peace. And so we can see nowadays, we can see the society such a mess, such a chaos, because we don't acknowledge the superiority of God. So the people who say, Prabhupada in one lecture, he was funnily mentioning that how, you know, like, speaking as a materialist, he said, there is no God. I don't accept any higher authority. He said, okay, but do you accept the authority of your boss? He said, yes, I accept that. So you have to accept some authority, but it's just that people are hesitant to accept God as the higher authority. And when you don't accept the higher authority, then there's a fight of who is going to own it. Am I going to get it, or are you going to get it? So then there's a fight. And the fight, everyone is injured, no one gets it finally. So that's the reason why we are distributing these books, the Prabhupada books. We distribute them to actually educate people that there is a higher source. There is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who owns and controls everything, and life is meant to be used for His service. The human life is meant for His service. So when we utilize our life for that purpose, then there is actually peace. And so we are distributing these books, then when we understand, when the people read these books, then they understand that, yes, there is something higher. And then their consciousness is transformed. And there's so many people, they're actually full-blown atheists. But when they read these books, then Prabhupada, when he speaks so authoritatively, that there is the higher authority. There is Supreme Lord. And when Prabhupada speaks with so much authority, then people come to accept. And that way people start to transform their lives. So that's why actually in one of the places, again in Bhagavatam, one of the quotes that I remember writing down, and it was mentioned that Prabhupada explaining that this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if it's distributed, then there will be peace in society. But without this distribution of this knowledge, there will not be any peace. So, and which is true, here we can understand that how when the society, when we explain scientifically and logically how there is a spiritual energy, and then there is a source of all the energies, material and spiritual energy, and that we are supposed to align our lives with His desire, then there is peace. When people understand that scientifically and logically, then there is a subordination, and then there is everyone working for the same purpose. So, with that, we can finish. Thank you so much. Any questions or comments or corrections? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned how if we accumulate more than enough, then we are called thieves. So Prabhu, as Grihasthas, we always have to accumulate more for like family and emergencies. So does that mean we're thieves?
Okay, there's two factors. This is the question that always comes up when we discuss this topic. So there's two points to consider. One is there's an over endeavor. So of course, when we all have to work, and we're not going to be just sitting here like a python man and hope that everything comes to us. So we're actually going to work, and we're going to try and accumulate wealth and do whatever is required. So there's nothing wrong in that. As Prabhupada also explains in the purport here, that whatever is required for eating, sleeping, mating, defending, we have to work for it. And we have to accumulate for now and for the future. So we know the example of Rupa Goswami, you know, how he divided his wealth for his own necessities, for the family, for the emergencies, and for giving the Vaishnavas. So in that way, we similarly accumulate wealth. So for considering keeping in mind our future also. Of course, we never know like how much is going to be enough for the future. So you can never accumulate enough for the future. But we do what is practical, and we have some excess that we can utilize for the future. And we can do some work for it. But obviously, we don't want to over-endeavor so much so that our our health is compromised or our Krishna consciousness is compromised. So that is very important. And secondly, we don't take any sinful means for accumulating the wealth, just to make some adjustment to the principles. No. So our principles we have to maintain. And then within that, if we are able to maintain our Krishna consciousness, if we maintain our family, our health, and the regulative principles,
then we can accumulate it, and then it's fine. Is it okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Kishore. Thanks for a nice class. We see in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that, to Arjuna, that he's the ability in man, and also from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if even on a subtle level that, within us, the intelligence, the mind, everything belongs to Krishna, how come he gives us so much freedom to kind of forget that aspect? How come he makes us perform activities that is actually far from serving him or giving as an offering to him? So how does that work?
Because living entity is a marginal energy, so we always have the choice of material energy or superior energy, and which one we want to subordinate ourselves to. So that's a freedom that's inherent in all of us, and Krishna is not going to push us towards anywhere, but he gives us sufficient education or knowledge to, so we know what are the consequences, whichever side we lean ourselves. But of course, the freedom is inherent for all of us, and Krishna is not going to take that away from us. Yeah. Anything to add? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Rachamat Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.